Hello, I'm Bob. I'm the badge team lead. I will pass this down.
Hello, I'm Clement. I did the electronics layout stuff.
I'm Morag. I made it pretty.
Hi, I'm Skylar. I work on some of the low-level IS2C and pin drivers.
Hello, I'm Naomi. I wrote a lot of the documentation.
Hi, I'm Hugh. I worked on the App Store.
Hello, I'm Tom. I worked on the App Framework.
Hi, I'm Chris. I worked on the USB PD side.
And I'm Nathan. I did some USB and toolchain stuff.
I'm Matt, and I do firmware stuff, I guess, and screens.
So, there's some common complaints when it comes to EMF badges, you know, to conference badges in general. People end up with loads of them. They chuck them in their drawers at home. They don't do anything. They don't have enough time to make things before the event. So, you know, you just end up putting it in a drawer, forgetting about it. Loads of people keep making different add-on formats. I know that's something ironic for us to say at the moment, but we promise we think this is a good idea. Screen is broken, yeah. It's on a module, so you can buy a replacement if your screen has broken this time. Last time was a bit of an issue. No idea how to use this. We have documentation. It's great. And and of course, the common EMF complaint of everything is covered in spiders. The badge tent is full of them, but there were 14 on my laptop earlier. So here's some problems that come from those. Making badges hard. Yes, again, I've been through a lot of this. They end up forgotten. We're concentrating on the next badge, so we don't have time to go back and fix the software and get it all perfect. It's quite difficult. Prototyping is expensive. Sometimes things just don't work. Yeah, writing software with a very hard deadline is quite difficult. They won't let us move EMF because the software isn't ready. We've asked, it's not happened. People spend all of their time at the event debugging their app that they've hacked together in a Club Mate fuel bender overnight, so there's apparently talks and stuff that happen here. Never seen one. We end up, yes, I think I've given more than I've attended at this point. We end up stuck in the badge tent debugging new and exciting issues. People are fantastic at breaking their badges. We had one that was full of ketchup. That was nice. Adding a new unique feature every time, it leads to disappointment. We had an issue last time. The unique feature of our badge just didn't work. We don't want that to happen again. Yes. We started doing PCB art last time, and we really like doing PCB art. So we want canvases. And we like adding new shiny things a bit too much. So, solutions. We don't make an entire new badge every event. Here's a quote from me last time. We're doing 6 PCBs next time. I know where you live. So, you know, we've accidentally made one that, if it's fully loaded, has 8 PCBs on it, possibly 9. We don't want people to have to rewrite their stuff every time. Everything for the past few years, we've always implemented it in MicroPython, but it's always been basically from scratch. We occasionally steal some bits from here and there. We steal some bits from us in the past and then try and figure out how it worked. But yeah, in general, our kind of app interface hasn't been very consistent across years. So we don't want that to happen. And we want to be able to reuse the expensive reusable stuff while the badge is unique for each event. So So we also, we decided to charge this year. This is obviously a new thing for us. Some other camps charge, some don't, but sponsorship this year has been incredibly difficult, as you've heard from the opening talk. We wanted to make the backboard as durable and high quality as possible. We wanted to use the nice versions of components instead of the cheapest versions of components. So a way to do that is to make it so those bits are reusable. And we only wanted to make as many as people actually wanted. In the past, people have kind of felt it's a bit of an obligation to pick up the badge, even if they have no intention of using it afterwards. So there are badges out there that have never been assembled, that are in a drawer somewhere, and never will be. So it allows people to put in that kind of bit of thought to think, do I actually want this? Will I use this? Yes. It turns out that people do actually want more than they tell us they want. So we might end up doing another run at some point soon. We'll get back to you on that. Soon, not soon. Quite a long time away from now. Maybe before next time, maybe not. So yes, previous years have come from sponsorship. All of the badge funding, sponsorship is really difficult at the moment. So that fed into the why we're charging decision. So the concept. Am I doing concept? I think I'm doing concept, yes. So, reusable baseboard. This, we can make it higher quality, last across events. We can use the good versions of parts, as I've said, and we can implement the base functionality that we need to reuse year after year after year after year. We're always going to need some Wi-Fi. We're always going to need an IMU. We want to keep supporting the hex expansion format for as long as possible. We want to make the front board as beautiful as possible. This can be heavily themed for each year, for each event, and kind of carry through the theming. It makes them a bit more collectible, but you're not then having a collectible that costs you 50 quid sit on the sat on your desk. These are a lot cheaper to manufacture because, in general, the front board is a small PCB and a bunch of LEDs. And then the expansion boards. We want these to be compatible as possible. We want to be able to add unique things in future badges, but without having to rebuild the entire badge. We want everybody else to be able to do that as well. The number of expansions we've seen has been amazing this year, and we cannot wait to see what happens in 2 years with that. And yes, we don't have to spin up an entire new board revision every time. So, is this where we change over? Concept call. It's written down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Shall we do this one together? Yeah, okay, yeah. So we had a call back in November, and we were like, okay, we don't have a badge. We want to make a badge. Do we want to make a badge? And we weren't quite sure if we could, because it was very short notice. And question was, what do we make? Do we make no badge? Do we make a really, really simple badge that's very cheap? Do we make something ridiculous like the freaking mobile phone? Or do we try and kind of get something usable that's not ridiculous but still kind of works?
When we said no badge, everyone on the call looked so sad. It was obviously not an option.
Sadly, at that point, it was an option. Right. Is that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm confused by this software.
Down is not giving me anything.
What? What? Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. So this is the design that we ended up with. And, so the challenge here was we have consequences from getting this wrong, which are much more significant than in any other year, because we intend this to be reusable. So we had to get it at least mostly right. And we had to get all the expensive bits out of the way of the bit that would not be reused. The main concept that we had here was we want maximum expandability. We don't know what people are going to do with this. So we want to leave as much open for expansion as possible. We wanted as many pins on each of those expansion connectors as possible. We wanted it to be as capable as possible, and we very rapidly ran out of pins. So then we added I/O expanders, and we very rapidly ran out of those as well. So we added more I2C buses, and we also ran out of those. So we literally have not a single spare pin anywhere on any of the hardware that isn't available for you to make cool things with. Yeah, and to avoid the issue that we had with the Wi-Fi last time, where we got the crystal positioning wrong, that was my fault, we opted for a system in package which contains the crystal and the antenna matching network and all the capacitors it needs, everything inside the package itself. This will be a problem, as we'll get to later. Yeah, and then we had the issue that we had very, very little space, as everything was completely crammed full of expansion space. So this was done in KiCad, and KiCad really doesn't like non-45 degree angle traces. So routing all this was a bit adventurous because everything's on 30 degree increments. It worked out in the end. I am involved in KiCad development, so I did try to pester the developers to allow arbitrary angle traces, and they told me to sort of. Yeah, but the result is we have this symmetry. It's hexagonal, and it was a pain getting the parts crammed in there, but it worked out. The antenna is the same as last year's, and it works this time because I didn't make the same mistake. I am capable of learning. Yeah. You may have difficulties finding the antenna because it is absolutely tiny, but this is actually one of the very few antennas in the world that is rated for a non-strayed board edge. So it's actually designed to have a decent radiation pattern in this configuration. Yeah, and then we had a problem with the connectors that we couldn't find a suitable connector that wouldn't require a very expensive or annoying to solder connector on the other side, on the expansion side, which we wanted people to actually be able to make in the field. So then we came across SFP, which is used in network hardware, and like, oh, this has the right number of pins, and maybe somebody will make a really cursed transceiver if we actually make the pinout match. And then the day after we announced it, somebody on social media goes, hey, does this pinout actually match? I can make a really cursed transceiver. Like, yes, yes, we didn't even document it and it worked out. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is our test board for the screen where we wanted the screen to be removable without actually having a connector, because we looked into connectors that go to the back of a board and they're all more expensive than the screen itself or do not exist. So we made a bunch of test boards where we tried different gaps between the pads, different offsets, and we found one that made it sit in nicely. So if you're not aware, you can just pull the screen off from your badge, and yes, carefully, and it will survive, and you can reuse it on another badge that has the same connector. So when we redo this in 2 years' time, hopefully, and you get a new pretty front board, you can just reuse the screen. Okay, I think this is the bigger
open. I think Bob was going to talk about the core.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There we go. This is
a... We lost a slide somewhere again. Yeah. So yeah, in November we had a bit of a call just to figure out what we were going to actually do for the badge, and we started off. We'd previously decided kind of about 6-8 months earlier, we were going to make something kind of flower-shaped with a round screen in the front. And then the Chaos Communication Camp released their badge design. And yes, it's beautiful. And it was kind of close to what we were going to do. So we pivoted. But yes, this is the designs that Morag was drawing during our call, where we were coming up with badge concepts. And we went from, we want a framework type badge, so everything's pluggable, to let's make it hexagonal, because hexagons are the best of guns. And somehow, by the end of the call, we ended up with the prototypes that you can see on the bottom far left here, which are pretty much the exact size and shape of the final badges. And we had a go. You can actually attach one of these pieces of paper to the final badge as a front plate, which I am very impressed with. It just fit perfectly. Excellent work, Morag. So, yeah.
I made the second one instead of going to sleep after the call. Excuse me, I lost my voice in Null Sector. If anyone finds it, let me know. Where's my other picture gone? I have a diagram of how I... So, this is my second time doing circuit board art. This is my second time doing circuit board art. For the bottom board, I used a very similar technique to last time, which was make individual components, and then Clement very nicely put them all by hand in place. There's been an upgrade to KiCad, so you don't have to do that by hand anymore. I can give him a pile of things. So after a few tests, we decided to... because the top board, as we've seen, is... so much simpler. All the meat is on the baseboard. That meant that Clement was able to move all the components to the outside edge and leave me a massive canvas to play with. And that also let us work with bare board for the first time, which gave me a whole 5 colors to play with, which was an immense amount of fun. I've got some diagrams about how I laid out the component art to be able to lay it back in, but that's probably an entire other talk. So I just wanted to thank everyone for the opportunity. This has been so much fun, and I'm really proud of what you've all done with it.
Right, so for the first time ever, we didn't panelize our boards. So this is something...
Where did the sponsor slide go?
I don't know, it's probably further on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, we were supposed to have a sponsor slide earlier. We have 4 batch sponsors this year. It's TI, Espressif, Bosch, and Onet China. We were supposed to have another one, but that fell through, and that's why there's a cat where there would be a sponsor logo. Yeah, so... Norbert and Onet, who we've worked with for sourcing before, pestered us incessantly to be allowed to do production this time. And we were happy to go with us. And he was like, okay, we can do a new production method that would leave you with no sharp edges around the edge of the board. So instead of panelizing the boards and then breaking them apart, we're going to have a holder that they can be populated on and then go through the pick and place machine and the oven inside the holder. Yeah, which is great because then we have nice smooth boards. It's not great because they are then much more sensitive to how precisely the holder is made. So the holder had to be remade several times. This is an X-ray of the SoC, and actually you can see in it there's 3 dice in there. There's a crystal and a matching network and a bunch of capacitors, which is great. But what you can also see is the red arrows point to some short circuits between pads, and those are not visible on visual inspection. They're only visible under X-ray, and they make expansions not work. So this happened very, very late in production, and we were very panicked. And they ended up actually redoing the holder that's holding the board several times and adding some support pins to make it have better registration for the base print. It worked out in the end. Norbert has been managing this process on his end, which has been a very welcome change, because usually in production I get to babysit the process, and like every other day call the production people and go, is it done? And they go, no, it's not done. And I go, can you make it done? Because it's 2 weeks to the event and we're panicking. And they're like, yeah, we'll get it done. And then next day, no, it's not done. We have a problem. And yeah. So this time, Norbert has been dealing with all this for us and just sending us updates. Like, yeah, yeah, it's happening. It's happening. Things have gone bad, but it will be good. Like they'll get it fixed. I'll make sure they get it fixed. I'll drive over and like pester them until they actually do it.
So now we've got the hardware, we actually have to have something to run on it. It wasn't just the idea of a flower-shaped badge that we were thinking on the same lines as the TCZ team. We also decided to use the same screen, which meant that we could just dive into their code base and nick their graphics driver, which is an excellent graphics driver. It's much faster than you would imagine with playing with the badge at the moment. I was too scared to push out any optimizations during camp because I didn't want to break things for everyone, but hopefully soon it will be a bit faster as well. And also we went back to the work that we did on the Tidal badge 2 years ago to make sure that we were stealing as much stuff from there. So one of the key things that we nicked from there is the OTA system, which was actually very good from our perspective last year because it was really easy to push out OTAs and new software updates. The fact you had to be basically leaned up against Dart and Clo didn't really help it be so useful from an end user perspective, but it was great to, in the back end. So we've knit that again. GitHub decided to make things harder for us, though. The request to get the URL for that now includes 8 kilobytes of headers, which requires quite a lot of messing around with the firmware because it doesn't expect you to have quite that much. And one of the other things we had to do was decide how big or small should the firmware be. And this was a really difficult balancing act between making it really simple for users to get started versus making it possible to do really complex things with expansions in the future. So hopefully we've got that right. We'll see how that evolves over time.
Yeah, let me do this bit because, something happened on Friday. You may be aware. Okay, so on Friday, we were well on track to get all the badges done for our planned release time of 1 p.m. Friday, 1:13, 1 p.m., which we had communicated in every possible way to every possible person responsible at least 7 times. So, 10 a.m. on Friday, right here, Jonty's on stage. And he goes, the badges are done, go get them. So we get a call in badge tent, prepare yourselves. We get a postcard, I don't know who sent this. We get a postcard in badge tent that just says, badge tent, good luck. So thankfully we had info team, Tanya and who else was there? Yeah, only Tanya was there at that time. Yeah, thank you, info team, for making a giant not yet sign and threateningly pointing at the people who are approaching the badge tent. Yeah, thank you to all the volunteers who actually made things happen. So we were actually almost ready to go at that point. We decided to still call it off and do 1 p.m. as planned because we don't want to reward this kind of behavior. Yeah, but thank you to all the volunteers who helped flash the badges. We it went great.
So we don't have much time left, but I do want to shout out some of the things that people have built. We often do software here, but because we've got a lot of hardware expansions, a lot more than we expected, we thought we'd go through those. One of the first ones is the Club Martech expansion, which buzzes a little bit, which makes sense. This one, Skylar, if you want to just join me for a second, I think a lot of people have played this.
So, quick show of hands, who recognizes these? Lots of you, great, that is amazing. These are the GCHQ.net expansion quest markers. We put 87 of these around the site as a treasure hunt. 694 people played, that's actually incredible. Over 11,000 of these markers were found per person, not per person, but you know what I mean. And the game went absolutely incredibly. Thank you all for playing. It was amazing.
Thank you. I should say, this was not a badge team thing. This was something Skylar and their village did as well as being on the badge team. They're down there. Thank you very much, all of you. You can hook up a Mega Drive. You can have googly eyes of various varieties. You can have wings. There's breadboards. There's funky little plotters. There's loads of 3D printed ones, including seven segment displays, hot sauce holders, LEDs. There's laser cut ones. Thank you to Nathan for getting all those cut, and lots of people have been decorating those. That one's cut off. There's a narwhal, which I loved. A pencil sharpener. A variety of various things that Bobby's displaying currently. Wow, I hadn't seen that one. Great. Software. Yeah, we're going to be using the same hardware in 2 years. We're going to be using the same software. Please help out. Contact us on Matrix. The URL for the badge stuff is on the back of the badge. You can find out how to get in touch with us there. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.